Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, man.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show.
Yeah. Let's go.
Here we go.
We on the war tour with Muhammad, my man. Let's go.
Charles, it's gonna make it do what it do, baby.
Make it do what it do. That's right. Hey, man. Again, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It has been an amazing night, if you will, for one of us at least. So we are ready to kick this off, talk some sports. You know how we do on this Tuesday in America. I do have to apologize if you hear yelling in the background. That's the lovely wife. Huge Warrior fans. No offense to
Curry
over there in the West Coast. Yeah. But hey, it is what it is, bro. I know everyone's jealous, but it's all good. So again, we are ready to officially talk some sports on this May 14th date. So let's kick it off with my fellas all the time who I would say that there's no frozen envelope, but maybe there is, maybe there's not. But we're going to have some fun here with the draft lottery, all that fun stuff. Let's check in with JQ. How you feeling, bro?
Oh, man, I can't complain. It's been about me and my daughter today. I went to field day for her at school, and then we had a gymnastics deck we had to go to where you know, she got an award for having the highest score in an individual meet. So, you know, she's over the moon about that.
Oh, man,
yeah,
awesome.
Just,
congrats,
yeah, so, you know,
baby,
I mean,
Jaquan.
Baby Jaquan,
yeah. That's really baby Erica, but neither here nor there. So I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Hey, man, appreciate you as always, man. We always get a nice little sneak peek into the life, man. So, you know, a lot of love for you, bro. So keep it going as always. And, again, that is really great, man. We know you're a fantastic pops, man, so that's good to hear. Let's also check in with my other fellow, Mr. Rob Ford. And we are going to show some love to Curtis and Gary, too, on the West Coast. And just to let you guys know before we get to Rob, shout-out to my cousin Jocelyn. She is a huge – she's in Portland, by the way, so she's a huge Portland sports fan, too. So a lot of love for her whenever they're not playing against our squads, too. But she is ecstatic and over the moon, too. So just a quick shout-out to her. There's some love out there for the West Coast, too. But, Rob, how you feeling, bro?
Man, feeling ecstatic, man. We won the lottery, just like I told y'all we was. Hey.
Oh, yeah, oh, my God. 6%. That's crazy.
Season ticket sales are going through the roof already tonight.
Yeah, I believe it.
You're raising ticket prices, too.
You know what's going to happen. And, again, I actually DJed away.
Buddy of mine says, damn, why he didn't renew before they won the lottery.
that could be the case. And shout-out to my man Burke. He's a huge suffering New York Knicks fan, and I DJed his wedding on Sunday. And he was more nervous about the lottery than he was about the wedding, which was pretty crazy. And again, you kind of feel like the Knicks fans, again, you know, they didn't get that pick. And I will talk about this more during the show because apparently there was some actual fodder out there that even if the Knicks got the number one pick, they'd make the trade for Anthony Davis. But again, that we don't know. So it's just one of those interesting scenarios, and we'll see how the path is going to actually navigate, and, you know, we'll talk about that as well, too. So, again, let's really quickly throw out the quick particulars of the show. If you want to call in, the number is always that 424-243-9519. That's the number to call out to your boys. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports from the 12th man, or if you put 12th man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So we're going to kick it off. Curtis and Gary, stay tuned, guys. We've got a lot of things to show you some love to, you guys, so stay tuned. Let's talk really quickly about the 76ers, the offer. Should the 76ers, offer the Lakers Ben Simmons for JQ, and I don't know what this is about, but JQ, you're going to kind of get this started, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on First Take the other day, and it's, you know, in terms of the splash of Philadelphia, of course you make that deal. I mean, he's LeBron James, and I understand that Ben Simmons is younger. But, you know, when you trade for a Jimmy Butler, you trade for a Tobias Harris, you've proven that you're going to go all in now. So I could see them entertaining it, but if I'm looking at it the way their roster is constructed, LeBron is not a shooter either. And the reason why, you know, we get mad at Embiid being out on the perimeter is because you can't have him down low with Ben Simmons because it clogs up the lane. And I think you're going to have the same kind of problem where you won't be able to maximize Joel Embiid by putting down the block because you can't really space the floor like you want to with LeBron because he's not really a knockdown shooter. So I get it in terms of star power. And you say, you know, that's LeBron. He's, you know, I don't think he's the best anymore after this past year. You know, he's still top three, though, easily. You pair him with an Embiid and you sign, you know, maybe Jimmy Butler or Harris or somebody else, and you're still in business. You still extend that window because you don't know what's going to happen with Toronto. Kawhi's only, I think we all know that Kyrie's leaving Boston. So I can see it, but again, you start looking at it schematically, and I'm like, is that really going to work out the way they think it will?
Well,
nice.
I think, you know, I kind of agree with you. If the Lakers are willing to, well, let me ask you this, JQ, before I give my thoughts. If you're the Lakers, would you make that trade? I know you said the Sixers would make it, but if you're the Lakers, would you make that trade?
Nope, because he'd be too close to goddamn Kylie's ass, and he really won't be in the gym trying to get no jump shot. I don't make that trade if I'm the Lakers, but if I'm Philadelphia, I think real hard about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. From the Sixers standpoint, if the Lakers are willing to make that deal, you have to make that deal from the 76ers standpoint. LeBron James is going to, what, 6 or 8 straight finals? I've lost count, actually. So he's proven to be successful, and this is an opportunity. This is a window, an opportunity that you have to make a championship run, even if LeBron may only have 3 or 4 years left. Playing. So I think if you're the 76ers, yes, you do make that trade. And I do understand that, you know, you say LeBron is not a shooter, but LeBron can hit big shots. And Ben Simmons, man, he can't throw it in the ocean. And matter of fact, on the offensive end, the Sixers, you know, a lot of times were 4-on-5 when they get into the half court because Ben Simmons can't even hit a jump shot. And it's ridiculous.
Yep.
To be a professional basketball player, that he hasn't worked on that craft and master the jump shot, and it probably cost him that series too. Yeah, I mean, for that series to be that close, and he could have been a difference maker, he has to develop a jump shot. It's way too long now. He's been a professional now for at least 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. He should have a quality jump shot. He should be able to hit at least 35% from the three-point range at this point in his career. And shucks, I mean, he barely shoots them, and he's probably only hit him at a 14% clip. That is tragic when you look at his jump shot abilities. He has to improve that three-point shot. And like I said, he probably cost him the series.
Yeah, you got to think about it. Just the transition to the West Coast. Look what CJ did from the mid-range game. I mean, he was all perimeter. I mean, all, you know, going to the basket and killing them in that mid-range game, that beat Denver, that is. I mean, there's still an art to be able to have that mid-range jumper that you're talking about if you can master it or at least get somewhat proficient at it. So you don't have to come out and wake up one day and be Larry Bird or Reggie Miller from the three-point line if you're Ben Simmons. But if you can get in that elbow area around there and perfect that mid-range jumper, you can still create some space down there where Embiid doesn't have to always start his penetration from the three-point line. You can get him and let him do more damage with his back to the basket, which I think he's capable of doing if you provide him the proper spacing. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's only effective on the defensive end and in transition on the offensive end. When you get to the half-court game, he's useless.
Agreed.
West Coast, what you got to add to that?
Well, I definitely agree with what Rob was saying, and I wanted to congratulate the Pelicans on that huge, huge news tonight.
Oh, we needed that.
Now, what I was going to ask you on that, Rob, was what are their chances of keeping the unibrow? Can they keep him in there now, knowing that they're going to bring in another player like that?
Well, that's a, you know, I don't know. There's a report out tonight that Anthony Davis still would like to be traded. I think, you know, that's really tough. You know, obviously David Griffin, the new president of the basketball operations, you know, he's had some success, and he wants to do everything he can to try to convince Anthony Davis to stay. But, you know, I think most of Pelican fans are 50-50 on that because Anthony Davis, the way he whined like a little girl this past year, matter of fact, I've started calling him a she. So let's refer from now on, until he starts acting like a man, from the rest of this time on this show, I'll be referring to Anthony Davis as her.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And,
okay,
so, the way she performed this past season and whined and complained, and really, you know, I mean, the Pelicans were in the semifinals of the playoffs last year, and they could have been better this year. I mean, they had some injuries and got off to a rough start with Julius Randle and Jrue Holiday, and even including himself with the injuries. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the way he performed. I keep saying he's a she. The way she performed this year was ridiculous. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, I think there are a lot of fans that want her to get traded. To get them, I keep messing up. Get her out of the organization by the way she performed this past season with all the whining and complaining. She needed some cheese to go with that wine.
Oh my God! But the thing about it as well, now that you have Zion, I mean, you would love to be able to pair them. I think they would fit together really well. But
well, that's what I said. I know the fan base is 50-50 now. I mean, obviously, but he cost the Pelicans a season this year. She did.
Agreed. I'm not saying that. What I was going to say about that is even if you have to get rid of him, the fact that you still have a building block in Zion and you know, if you can run to come back, and like you said, Jrue Holiday is severely underrated in this league. But the treasure trove of picks you probably can get back for Anthony Davis, and now you pair those picks with a Zion Williamson. You mean you talk about an instant, you know, rebuild right there in New Orleans.
And if you can convince Julius Randle to come back, and I mean, that would be another big piece. Alfred Payton quietly had a very good season when he was healthy this year. He was another missing piece that missed 3 months of the season. So he was another guy that really showed a lot of improvement. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for them to, even if she does get traded, that the team could possibly rebuild a lot faster than expected.
You going for You gonna be for Duke player, Rob?
Say what?
Are you gonna be all like?
You gonna be root for?
Hey,
you gonna be root for a Duke player?
Hey, he's a Pelican now. That's all that matters. Hey, what did I say? You draft Duke players. You draft Duke basketball players in the first round, not Duke football players like the Giants did.
Well, here we go. What else you got, West Coast? What else you got? We appreciate that. What else you got, West Coast? Real quick.
Well, I wanted to talk about the game 7 with Denver. I know right now the Portland's down by 12 in this one, but I wanted to talk about being able to go into Denver in game 7, hold Denver to 44 points in the second half. That's a team that had the best home court this year. No one expected us to do it. We outscored them in the second half by 17 points. Due to really that mid-game that was mentioned earlier in the podcast with CJ. CJ just played phenomenal. And I think that was what was great about Dame is, you know, he saw that CJ was on and it was working against their defense, and they just milked that for all it was worth and came out of there with a victory. But what I wanted to say is, you know, the Joker, as tough and as mean as he is in there and somewhat dirty, at the end of that game, he went out and he congratulated all the Portland Trailblazers. And I thought that was just professional. And I have a lot of respect for someone that does that. In the other series, I watched The Beard and I watched CP3 or what's his name? Chris Paul. Yeah. You know, they just walked off the court, you know. They didn't, you know, and that's uncalled for, you know. Yeah, it's It's intense.
We got too many
C's
in the NBA right now.
Yeah, every team wants to win, but I thought it was really fantastic that that he did that, and a lot of their players did. So I give a shout-out to Denver for a great season, a season that a lot of people didn't think they were going to have, including us here. But I want to give a shout-out to Curtis here, who did pick Portland to be second. They finished one game out of second in the West, and he also picked them to go to the Western Conference Finals against the team that they're in right now. So that's a shout-out to my buddy here,
Curtis.
Well,
JQ and I both picked them to beat Denver.
But JQ was saying a whole bunch of stuff about that Curry guy, Murray guy. And, you need to score your points in those last 2 minutes. And I think he's going to learn that as a pro. In those 2 minutes is when those points are crucial. And Murray disappeared in every game in the last 2 minutes. And in one of the arguments we had two radio shows ago, you were telling me about this Murray guy. And I told you I didn't think he was better than Damian. I didn't think he was better than CJ. I didn't even think he was better than the Curry we got. And he's better. He's better than I give him credit. But when it was money time, when it was time to win games, I did not see your Murray guy there. And the biggest play in that game was when CJ blocked Murray's shot at the rim.
I think everything that I said. I said that he was better than you guys were giving credit for. Y'all were calling him basically a role player. I said that he wasn't that. I picked Portland to win that series, but it still went seven games. So let's not act like, you know, they just came out there and monkey stomped Denver. Like, that was a really contested, highly entertaining game where it had a quadruple overtime. So I mean, I get what you're saying, but I still think Murray showed up. But Murray didn't do what you gave Dame credit for. For deferring to CJ and saying CJ's got it going, I'm gonna give him the ball. I feel like Murray did a lot after Joker because he was just out there, you know, a man out there in that series. So why would you go out there and force the issue to say, you know what, I'm gonna try to be better than Dame or CJ when I've got a beast at center who can play basically point center? So I think he played within himself, and you know, he had a bad game. And what it looked like to me for them were, like you said, nobody expected them to do it, but it looked like the moment was just a little too big for them right now because they're still a really young team. And you saw a Portland team that's been through some wars here in the playoffs and has some, you know, some rough exits from the playoffs, but they're putting it together this year. And I give them all the credit in the world. I'm still high on Murray, and I still think they gave Portland one hell of a series. But I said it when we did all our picks. I said I'm still taking Portland, but I still like their experience. And I think that's what really showed up on the road in Game 7. And CJ was just a man. I mean, oh, my God, he was a monster in that game. So I'm not taking anything away from Portland, but I'm also not taking anything away from Denver. And one last thing is you talked about the sportsmanship that Joker showed. I also love the sportsmanship that Gasol showed to Embiid when he had no reason to do that for as much shit that Embiid talks all year long to, you know, try to lift that man up when he was crying at the end of that crazy shot that Kawhi hit. So I want to throw Gasol into that good sportsmanship conversation as well. That was a really good classy part on his part.
Yeah, I'll give him that. That really was a phenomenal series. And, you know, you got to take your hat off to a team that just played as hard as they could possibly play. And they're going to be good for quite a while. And I think Murray is going to, you know, he's going to develop into, and he already has, more so than what I thought as well. I was pretty impressed with his overall play throughout the entire series. And the way they came out and double-teamed Dame with that big guy that doesn't look like he can move and doesn't look like, you know, and he's got a good first step, and he's just a really smart ball player. He really played well. So hats off to Denver. And also, you know, we're getting blown out now here by Golden State, but that's just one win. You know, this game's over. It's 108-92 right now with 2:54 left. I think this was
a
hangover game for the Blaze.
The bad part of it is these are the opportunities for you to win these games when Kevin Durant are out. And these are the games where you had a small chance of winning. No chance when Kevin Durant comes back.
We got both Durant and Cousins out. So this was an opportunity. But one of the things, though, Golden State actually had a better turnaround. They won their game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And Portland won their game on Sunday. So, no, I didn't expect Portland to win this game here. When I was at a place where I was taking bets, but I wanted 20 points. Now, I wanted 20 points. You know, Golden State had, for those guys to win, Golden State had to win by 20. So I think I'm still in my money here because I don't think Golden State's going to win by 20. But what they need to do, and I really think Portland needs to, you know, gather themselves and get it on. And with this opportunity, with no Durant and no Cousins, they need to get that game too. They need to get that game on Thursday. And if they can get that game on Thursday, we have a series. But there is, and in my experience over the last 4 years, Golden State seems to be Portland's kryptonite. And I see with Golden State and the Portland thing, it turns into when you miss a shot on Golden State and you're the Portland team, they go up by 6. When you miss another shot, they go up by 9. You come down and miss another shot, now you're down by 15. You cannot, Portland cannot spend any time, no minute, no 2 minutes, no 3 minutes of not scoring. You got to score on Golden State every single time you go down the court. In all this time I've seen Portland, and Golden State has swept Portland over the last 3 years twice, including one time I thought they had a little bit of a shot, and I went to a bar to watch them, and I saw Golden State not miss a shot. And it breaks your heart to play another team that is not going to miss a shot. What do you do? What you have to do is you cannot miss a shot on these guys. And when you do, they outdistance you.
And what you got to realize, too, about this Golden State team, they did win one championship without Kevin Durant or DeMarcus Cousins. I know they've won two in a row with Durant, but this team still won one without him.
They won one and they went to another one. So this team
is
championship ready, even without the two starters out for their team.
I think the disappointment is in Houston. I mean, I don't expect Portland to win this series with or without Kevin Durant. Houston was trying to build their team to beat Golden State, and they could not win a game without Kevin Durant. And so, I mean, like I said, I don't expect Portland to win this series with or without Kevin Durant. But Houston is the team that you're disappointed in for not being able to win Game 6 at home. And all offseason, you're building all offseason, last 2 years, you're building your team to beat Golden State. And Chris Paul and James Harden couldn't get it done without Kevin Durant. Total disappointment, total failure on a Houston Rockets part.
Yep, that's on CP3. Yep. That game, he woke Curry up with that foolishness where he made and he kept with his private shoot around in Houston. He woke Steph Curry up. And it took him a second to get cooking in that game, too. But that second half performance, he was 33 points in the second half alone. Mm-hmm. I think it went scoreless in the first half. He woke Steph Curry up. and they beat called Houston in game six, and I think it's going to be a detriment to Portland because now you've awoken that a Giant who was not playing really great basketball. He was playing okay to good basketball, but now you ride the coattails of that, you know, second-half performance against Houston, and that just sucks to Portland that CP3 did that to y'all because he did.
Well, you know, Golden State is just, you know, they're the gold standard in the NBA right now. And Portland's just another one of those teams that's trying to get there. If they can put it all together and they can win down there on Thursday, they can make a series of it. If they don't, it's going to be a very short series.
Oh, and that's what we don't want. Oh, God, that we don't want to sweep. But, you know, there's that jeopardy. And, you know, what can you say? And I've said this on this radio.
That's scary for you, Curtis.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's where I'm at on this whole thing, and here's where my mouth is open all the time. Steph Curry crushed Ray Allen. And maybe I give Ray Allen more credit than I should. Maybe I thought Ray Allen, I can't say this though. Ray Allen has a college championship that Curry never got. But Curry is crushing Ray Allen. And that's jaw dropping to me to witness that. To witness what Curry is doing, and nobody wants to give him that kind of credit. Nobody. I mean, Westbrook and Harden are considered better guards than Curry. And, man, what is everybody in the NBA looking at? This Curry guy might be the greatest guard I've ever seen. And it's amazing to really think that.
I don't think Ray Allen won a championship in college, though.
I don't know if he got one in.
He won one at UConn. You sure? We got to check that out. I believe he did win one at UConn.
I'm almost positive. I don't think he won a championship at UConn. I think they won a couple of titles after he left. But I don't think he was on any championship teams at UConn. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I just wanted to point that out for our listeners. Yeah. He wasn't on any championship team at UConn. He really was one of the key players that helped bring UConn basketball to prominence, though. And they kind of took off a little bit after he left.
Jesus Shuttlesworth did.
Yeah.
I got problems. Go ahead. I'm looking it up for you guys. No. Doesn't look like it was, guys. But, I mean, neither here nor there. Like I said, what we're saying, I think we definitely understand what you're saying. I mean, as far as, I mean, Ray Allen he reminds me of freaking Mitch Richmond, just like crazy, like shooting all of that, too. But you got to think about it, too. I mean, you had guys that were amazing shooters and stuff like that, but then, you know, taking their team to the next level. And you do have to agree that there's so many different topics we can talk about, from the way that Curry is playing, changing the game, and then looking at the Hardens of the world and whatnot, because that whole thing with the Rockets, I mean, I have some, you know, obviously some friends and family that are Rockets fans, and they were just disappointed, man. And you're like, well, I mean, that was your opportunity, guys. And then you look at the way that Harden, you know, definitely just – it was just crazy, man, because, again, Harden is looking to get that gene, man, just that Romo gene, just can't win the big one, man. And then eventually, you like you said, Rob, they did all of this to basically beat Golden State, and they didn't. And that was an opportunity, too, to kind of, like, put their stamp on that squad. And Golden State just played out of their mind, man. Like you said, CP3 just opened up the poke the bear, if you will, and all that stuff. But,
yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of how that transforms the game, too, because of game six, guys, with Houston, I mean, Golden State is focused now, guys, and this is going to be more tough. And as much as we love to see, I think this is a great series for guards. I mean, you know, CJ and Dame, this is a great series for that. But, you know, you're kind of looking at the contrasting styles, and you know, maybe it's kryptonite. Maybe it's because Golden State is more battle-tested. I mean, there is something missing with Portland right now, guys. I don't know if they, you know, they need that big man, or there's just something else with that extra kind of like slashing, you know, small forwardish kind of character. But they are definitely missing something. That's not a knock, but maybe they may be a little, you know, kind of living off that last game too, but or last series, excuse me. But I will have to say this before we talk about the next topic. I do love the fact that the way the future of the NBA is going with all the young stars, with Utah, with, excuse me, Denver playing well. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the league evolves, and it's not going to be just one dominant team. I think everything's going to get split up. I think Golden State's probably going to get their last title, and then they're going to split up, and we'll talk about that too, because you've heard the scuttlebutt. I would kind of transition to the next topic in that, you know, it's almost like a done deal that, you know, KD's going to be going to the Knicks, making calls. And with what happened to Boston, you know, you're hearing about, you know, Kyrie leaving. So even if the Knicks kind of lost the lottery, they may win because they may be in a sort of better position because they may get, you know, some rising characters in KD and Irvin. And I guess I definitely want to hear you talk about that, guys, as well. And nothing is done until, you know, obviously the that contract is signed or stuff like that too. But it's kind of looking that way. It's gonna go that direction. So what else do you guys think about that? You know, the normal order that we're gonna go. We got 30 minutes left as well, so let's keep this going as well.
Hey Curtis, looked like you lost that 20-point bet. Golden State won by 22.
Yes, oh God.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Diva lost weight.
Well, you know what, the good thing of it is, you know, is that, yeah, you know, if it's a one-point loss or a 22-point loss, it's just one game. If we can go down there, eliminate the turnovers, get Dame and CJ going and, you know, and our role players, and we can steal one down there, I'm still hopeful of it. If we can, we can make a series of it. If we can't, because the Blazers are tough on their home court. And, make you know, we talk to Denver about it, or talk to, you know, Golden State, or not Golden State, but OKC about it, you know. So, and we have, you know, we split with Golden State in the regular season. I think we won one here and one there, and they did the same. So we know we can beat them, but this is a whole different thing when it's the playoffs. And even their role players there are so adjusted to playoff basketball. Portland has got to get their butts in gear. Their role players have got to step up, especially guys like, you know, Zach Collins, Seth Curry, Hood, E.T., Evan Turner. If we can get those guys going, we can give them a game. If not, these guys are just going to make mincemeat out of us.
But I also want to mention good business, good NBA stuff, that we had two game sevens. We potentially almost had three game sevens on that Sunday Mother's Day. And the ratings and the business of game sevens is really good for the NBA. We cannot deny that. These trade rumors, you know, you just have to wait to see. You know, I'll believe them when I see them. You hear a lot in the scuttlebutt. You hear a lot in the rumors. But until you see them actually happen, I don't think anything's a done deal.
So if Anthony Davis went to the Lakers, would he be the first woman to play in the NBA?
Well, she played in a few games this past season. So she's she is the first woman that's already played in the NBA.
What about Dennis Rodman? I thought Dennis was in the dress a few times. Didn't Dennis marry somebody in a dress? Well, on a motorcycle, something in a dress. I don't think he's the first woman.
Oh my gosh. let's keep on to the next topic. That's hilarious.
Oh,
let's talk about obviously the Pelicans winning the lottery. Let's let Rob get it out of his system here. Is Zion the transfer or minimal player if he is? And Rob, go ahead and let's set that up, man.
Well, yeah, you know, real quick, just for my people out in Portland, trust me, I want the Blazers to somehow find a way to win this series. I just don't see it happening. That's just how much I hate the Warriors. So I'm definitely pulling for the Blazers. It just doesn't see it. Just doesn't see it happen. But to answer your question in regards to Zion Williamson, absolutely. I think he's a franchise-changing type player, and I think he's going to have that impact. I'll be honest, I didn't think he was prior to going into his freshman season. I thought he could probably be a good NBA player, but after watching him this past season, you know, I was a little concerned about his height going into his freshman year in college. But he uses his body extremely well, and he uses his athleticism extremely well to offset his height. And so he uses his strength and athleticism to kind of offset that. And he's improved his jump shot. Ben Simmons can't even do that. And so if you look at things, I definitely think he's a game changer for the Pelicans, and it gives the Pelicans a lot of options going into this next season. And obviously we have to find out if she's going to stay or not, and how that's going to impact the organization. But even if she still wants to go, I think you got an opportunity to get a lot of assets in return to continue to build around Zion Williamson, Drew Holiday, and let's see what happens with Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys saw that video on ESPN to see the Pelicans ticket office after the Pelicans won the lottery.
Yeah, they went absolutely batshit. Like you said, the thing is flexibility for the Pelicans at this point, because you feel like you guys, you know, a transcendent star on their way to you in Zion. So you say, okay, can we repair this relationship with AD? If we can't, cool. So we can go out there and we can get some other assets from this class and future classes and maybe throw in a player with those picks. And now you pair that player with Zion and the picks and the role players you just talked about. And, again, I think the Pelicans, you know, have an instant reset on their rebuild process where they don't have to go through these multiple years and trust in the process and all that other foolishness. And as far as the rumors about KD and Kyrie, I'm with you guys until I see it, because I think KD and Kyrie are both emotional dudes, and they'll tell you one thing and then do something else. But I think it hampers New York a little bit now, not getting that number one pick. I think them getting that number one pick might have been closer to a slam dunk that you can come to, because you're going to say, okay, I'm getting this guy. And, again, we're getting him on a rookie contract. So me and Kyrie, if you're KD, we can break the bank, and he's already got his money slotted by the CBA when you draft him. Now it's the three of us. So without having that there, It takes a little luster off of New York, I think, if you look at those two guys, because you don't have an instant third wheel that you're getting in the draft. So I'm with you. That lead has been opened back up for KD to stay in Golden State, for KD to go somewhere else out here. And Kyrie might even consider Brooklyn. I think he just kind of wants to go back to the New York area. But, you know, it's a blow all around for the Knicks not getting that number one pick, a huge blow.
Yeah. And wow, did you see the Knicks fans celebrate when they announced that the Lakers got the fourth pick? The Knicks fans were celebrating when they announced that the Lakers got the fourth pick. And then the very next pick, the Knicks was number three.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. But I still think the Knicks are going to come away this offseason with at least one star. And I don't know if that's going to be Durant or it's going to be Kyrie Irving. I still think they're going to come away with at least one of those two guys, and maybe still both. Obviously, you know, they still have the third pick in the draft, so they can still get a really good player in RJ Barrett, I'm sorry, with the, from Duke as well, who I think we got three really good players in this draft, and then we have some quality players after that. Not a lot of depth toward the end of the first round, but the Knicks can still come away with a quality player, a player that still has the potential to be an NBA All-Star. Maybe not in his first season, but down the road. And so they could still possibly come away with a star or two. this offseason. I mean, Knicks have a ton of cap space, and it still is New York, and it's still going to be an opportunity for somebody to come in and revive basketball in the Mecca. And I think that's going to be a challenge that some players are going to be want to try to achieve that. I mean, if you're able to turn basketball around in New York City, I mean, you will be considered a god in that market.
Yeah, and again, something crazy like that just takes me to say, oh, God, it's his team. It's his team. And I mean, I've been trying to tell you that Steph gets that building going like no other player. So when Steph performs like that and KD's at home and they don't miss a beat without him, just you sitting there saying, yeah, it might be time for me to pick up because this will never be my team. So there's also that aspect to it as well.
Yeah.
Well, I've got something.
You look at KD, you know, he's out right now and Golden State still winning.
Like 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if I were to give a message to Anthony Davis and I had a choice of staying right where he's at and playing alongside the team that's surrounding him and bringing in a player like Zion, or go to the Lakers and play with LeBron James, who's more about his shows and stuff like that right now than being engaged in basketball, I would stay right where I'm at and have a better chance of winning because they may be going for another lottery pick next year.
I made that same point to someone tonight right after the Pelicans won the lottery. I said, if Anthony Davis still wants to go play with an aging LeBron James and leave a young player, 19 years old, in a team that could possibly still have Drew Holiday, Julius Randle.
It's already burnt, though. It's already burnt.
Yeah, yeah. She would be crazy for wanting to go play with an aging LeBron James. Hmm?
Y'all are crazy as hell. It depends on what they have to give up to get AD. But you're crazy in hell if you think that you don't take the chance to go win and be an instant contender with LeBron. Y'all need to stop that. I know y'all don't like the Lakers, and I give you a little credit. I've done everything he was supposed to do this year. But that is nonsense. Him and LeBron would be ridiculous. If they can fill out that roster and not have to give up everybody with a couple of shooters and say, oh, my God, I'll take a little less money to go there because of those two guys, y'all are totally underselling what the Lakers are bringing. They were a 4 seed before LeBron got hurt, so – you know, I know it's cool to pile on the Lakers right now. They're making it real easy with the protests and all the nonsense. I get it. But that's too far.
I'm not hating on the Lakers, JQ. I just think it's funny, man. I think that you definitely have to look at kind of the here and now. Like I said, you know, as far as, you know, LeBron is definitely, I mean, he's going to have some type of his reputation is going to be more than his actual game, you know. So, again, it's just
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You kind of look at what's there. I mean, like I said, you
and
hope
I just,
that, you know,
and I'm not either.
You gotta realize JQ was talking with his heart, not his head.
I'm talking with my head.
He's burnt those bridges though. But the AD has burnt those bridges though. He can't stay now because you know you got Rob Potom, Shee. Hey Zion, just don't mess up before Rob calls you see in a couple of years now. But no, I mean the bridge is already burned, man. Because what AD can't say now, hey guys, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it. It's already done, man. You can't turn it around from this particular thing. So you know AD has nothing to do but lead the squad. But in the interim, like you said, at least for the Lakers, you know y'all had. You're hoping that some of your young players are going to come back and actually do some things really quickly too, man. At least grow up fast, man. So that's all you got to hope for, man. That's – I don't know, man. It's going to be –
they can have everybody but Kuzma.
I'm with you.
They can have everybody but Kuzma. Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
so
y'all crazy.
We'll talk about this for an hour.
Go ahead.
I know.
Said everybody but Kuzma?
Yep.
Man. All right. So let's
I guess
about
I'm not gonna trade Kuzma since they had him on the panel at the lottery tonight.
That don't mean shit.
That's funny.
That don't mean nothing.
Oh,
they said you get AD, you get Kuzma, and yeah,
I'm being
facetious. Yeah, okay.
All right, we got 15 minutes here. I do definitely want to talk about speaking of what's gonna happen, and maybe this will talk about what's gonna happen in the future too. Kawhi and Giannis, man. So this is a great question. Who's the best player in the Eastern Conference Final? And it's almost like a 1A, 1A, 1B. I don't even know how to just do because, again, you know, Giannis has just been – Giannis has been just, you know, just dominating. And again, whenever we first talked about Toronto, and, you know, that was a bold move getting rid of, you know, DeRozan and getting Kawhi, because, you know, you didn't know if Kawhi was going to even show up with the amount of intent. And he even showed some emotion, man. That last shot, you talk about what an amazing game. I mean, just, you know, him hitting that shot, just like elevating that whole city, if you will. And you know, Kawhi has always been a quiet superstar, but, I mean, it literally is 1A, 1A, if I would say, man. I mean, I may give a slight edge to Giannis just because of, you know, the fact that he's just having this breakout. But it's not because Kawhi is, like, you know, chopped liver by any means. It's just a great situation. And, you know, you saw how his leadership and just his kind of quiet resolve has definitely elevated that squad because, you know, Kyle Lowry wasn't getting it done. And we definitely damn sure know that DeRozan wasn't doing it, man. So just a way for them to interject some confidence. And maybe that was coming from a different place. Maybe him coming from the Spurs guys, having that pop influence on him or just kind of being around that environment, was able to do something with, you know, Toronto. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, I can't comment too much about that because I'm not in the locker room, but I just, you know, Toronto wasn't getting it done. And then now they're in the finals. So I'll let you guys kind of comment on that. You know, the usual suspects, how we go around the room. And we got 14 minutes as well on the show, too. So go ahead with that, JQ.
Listen, it's really tough. And I think, Umbridge, one thing you said, that was a great final sequence to that game. But that game was horrible. Both teams knew it was a game seven, and that booty hole was tight. And they couldn't make a shot. All these shots were short. You know, we talk about Kawhi, and that was a great shot. Don't get me wrong. But he got 41 points on 39 shots. He was not really shooting the ball effectively in that game. But he said, I'm the star, and they're going to ride or die with me. So they're looking to me to take us home. Either way, we're going to the next round, or we're going home. So I give him a ton of credit for that. His defense is phenomenal. He's part of the reason why Jimmy Butler couldn't go off because he was locking him down. But I say that I would take Giannis because Giannis can play that kind of defense as well. He can do more things in terms of rebounding and blocking shots. And he's not going to shoot that kind of low of a percentage. He's going to find a way to get other people involved, but also be finishing more at the rim because he's just a bigger player. Giannis is playing on a whole nother level right now for him. So I mean, that's not to take anything away from Kawhi because he put the six on his back in that game. But it was a very inefficient 41 points on 39 shots. So I'm going to go with Giannis, and it's not by a whole lot, but that young fella has been amazing.
Yeah, for me it's Giannis too, and I think JQ said it best. I mean, his all around game is just phenomenal. What he's doing on both ends of the floor. I mean, he's made some moves here in the playoffs that are reminiscent of Dr. J. I mean, it was just unbelievable. His length, his athleticism, and he's not a prima donna, and that's what we've seen with a lot of these with the She that's still with the Pelicans. And with the CP3s and the Hardens, and it just got too many prima donnas in the NBA, and that's what you love about Giannis. He's a straight-up bulldog. He's a straight-up basketball player. He's not worrying about whining, playing in Milwaukee and all that. He just want to go out and play and help his team win. And that's what you got to like about Giannis. I've been saying it all year long. He's got to be the MVP. When you look at it, I mean, they have some good players around them, but they don't have any great players around them. And so what he's been able to do with that organization helped them win 60 games this year. And, I mean, they swept the first round. They beat Boston 4-1, so they're 8-1 so far in the playoffs. And Boston is supposed to be the team with the collection of stars, and they just breezed right through them winning four straight after losing the first one. And a lot of that's all on him. When you look, 39 points, 16 rebounds, 4 to 5 blocks, 3 to 4 steals. As Clark Kellogg likes to say, stat sheet stuffer, that's what he is. I mean, he pretty much carries that team on his back, and he does it all. And to me, he's a regular season MVP, and he's been so far the playoffs MVP as well.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that was a big-time shot by Kawhi Leonard. I don't think it was luck. You know, that was a question that's been going around. I mean, he got that shot over Joel Embiid. It, you know, now, if it would have been different, it would have hit the side rim. But he got that ball on the top rim and got a shooter's roll. I don't think the shot
Stop
was
it.
Luck. I mean, it hung up there on the rim for like 4 seconds.
It
I mean, everybody
time.
Stopped. Yeah, hit the rim
it
four
hit the rim
times.
Four time.
But he
That's
got it in the
luck.
Upper echelon of the cylinder
he got
and was
off.
Able to get that shooter's roll. I don't think it was luck.
I
was rooting for the Sixers to win.
It.
So I'm saying that even though I was rooting for the Sixers. And Stephen A. Smith, stop whining about having to go to Canada because you ain't got no global entry card. Go and get your global entry card.
Yeah, I was like, come on, bro. You just sound like I'm a $1 million deal. That
yeah.
is part luck. If you hit the rim four times and it goes in, that's part luck. Now, there is skill in finding your spot on the court and getting it over a seven-footer and being able to put it on the rim soft enough to potentially get a shooter's roll. When you're talking about a shooter's roll, you might get one bounce. You might even get two bounces. He got four bounces and got that ball to go in. I mean, he's sitting on the floor, yoga style, waiting on the ball to go in. I mean, there's a piece of luck. I would say that's 70% skill, 30% luck. If you get four bounces and it goes in, that's some luck involved. Nobody draws it up that way. Nobody.
Well, I'm gonna piggyback off of JQ, and what I'm gonna say to everybody, and I'm gonna say the truth. Here's the truth. The last three possessions that Philadelphia had, they went down and did not score in the last three of their possessions. So it was beholden of Kawhi Leonard to destroy them. You're going to go down in the last 2 minutes and you're not going to score a point. You need to go home. And they're going home.
Oh, wow.
Very well said.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. That was great.
Gary's like, oh.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It was great. So I do want to kind of just – I know we briefly talked about what's happening with the Knicks and everything that's going to happen with that, and I don't think the Pelicans are going to trade that number one pick, Rob. Is that what you're thinking here? Because we got about 8 minutes here. Are they going to trade the pick or keep it? Or I don't even know why this is even a freaking topic right here.
Well, I think there's been some talk already after the lottery tonight, you know, whether or not part of the process of convincing Anthony Davis to stay is do you trade Zion to bring in another star to play with her? And, you know, that's what we got to, you know, that's been the conversation. In my opinion, I think you keep the pick. I don't trade it. I think he can be that star to play with her if she decides to stay. And so that's, you know, that's what we'll see. But, yeah.
No,
I mean, what team is, you know, what kind of star are you going to get in return for Zion? Well, who's going to want to trade their star for Zion Williamson? Not, I mean, it's Toronto. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a free agent. Kevin Durant is a free agent. Golden State's not trading Steph Curry for Zion Williamson. So you got to keep the pick if you're the Pelicans. You don't – do you want to trade him for Jimmy Butler? No, he's a free agent.
Hell no.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, so who are you going to get? Are the Rockets going to trade James Hart? No.
and no,
you know, and we don't
here's
want Chris Paul, lazy ass.
No.
Yeah,
but there's two things to it. The only way you trade that pick, and I'm not advocating that you trade it, but the only way you trade is two things. You have to mend that relationship with Anthony Davis, and he has to sign an extension before you even think about trading that number one pick. He has to put pen to paper of signing the Supermax, wherever it is he's able to get in New Orleans before you trade that pick. And if you do that, saying, okay, we've got some things in the burner, it's the sign and trade piece I'm talking about. Because, you know, if you get a Kevin Durant to re-sign with Kevin, you know, with Golden State, but you trade, you know, that pick to Golden State for him so he can get the most money coming from Golden State where you can sign for that 5-year deal, or Kyrie with Boston where you can make that kind of move. I think that's the only way that you trade that pick where it says, okay, I already got him to sign. And one of those two stars is a free agent. They may want to come here and play with Anthony Davis, but they want to get the max. So they're going to re-sign where they are just to do a sign and trade so they can get that 5th year to get the most money. Anything outside of that, New Orleans keeps the pick. And that's a, I know that's a really narrow scope of view of what can happen, but I think that's the only way you feasibly
yeah.
make that pick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if Anthony Davis stays with the Pelicans and Kawhi stays with Toronto, there's a possibility of that. Lakers may not end up with maybe Jimmy Butler, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it looks like Jimmy Butler.
I don't think Kawhi Leonard is even considering the Lakers. I think if Kawhi Leonard goes to L.A., it's going to be the Clippers.
Well, that could be, too. And then who else?
You don't
want to
be second fiddle
to
LeBron.
You know, if he goes to the Knicks, LeBron is he's got ball, I guess.
I don't want Jimmy Butler
LeBron
at the max. I don't want Jimmy Butler
LeBron.
Or Kemba at the max. No.
I think those killers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, or Kemba Walker for the max is a cat-killing move for the Lakers to do. If you're not getting Kyrie or Kawhi or KD, then I would try to put that money up and get some and get three B-level free agents to play around LeBron. That's what I would do.
All right. We have spoken. Okay. All right. Good stuff, team. All right. Let's talk about some other things here. We got to talk really briefly about the last – we got about 3 minutes, guys, so this has got to be really, really quickly here. So I want to talk about just – I wish we had time to get this – about the Rockets. If you're the Rockets, what's kind of the state of the franchise here? And like I said, we got to be as brief as possible here because, again, we already talked about the disappointment, but what's the next phase for them? Can they win with D'Antoni and Harden?
No. Yeah. They can't win with D'Antoni. That ISO basketball is great in the regular season.
Yeah.
You get James Harden, killing somebody, and then you're playing a team that's coming in 3 games in 4 days and that kind of thing. But when a team can sit down and prepare for you, that ISO basketball of him clearing out and everybody else just watching is not going to be the team like Golden State. So I'm going to say no on D'Antoni unless he changes his offensive system, which I just don't see him doing. They got to have
yeah.
a more free-flowing offense for them to be able to compete in.
And I agree with that. And, you know, Mike D'Antoni's teams historically have been poor defensively. And I will say he's kind of played some better defense with these Rockets here over the last couple of years. So I will give him a little credit for that. But I just don't think he's a championship coach. And on top of that, I don't think CP3 and Harden are championship players. I don't think they have what it takes to lead teams to a championship. I really don't. And they're just not those. They're good players, but they're not winners. And Mike D'Antoni is not a winning coach either. So I'm going to say absolutely no. Their window is getting ready to close. If not, it may have already closed. And now you're going to have some teams with younger players, such as the Denver Nuggets, the Portland Trail Blazers. My Pelicans are coming. And so you're going to have some teams with some younger players. That's going to be in contention here, and their window is closing. CP3 has got to be about 34 years old.
The OT portion, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in. I know it's been a basketball-heavy show tonight, but obviously we're right in the middle of a conference finals in the East and the Western Conference, so obviously in the draft lottery tonight. We're going to be getting back to some of our mock draft coverages here in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be back on the air on Tuesday night again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You do not want to miss. We're going to have another great edition. We have you up to date on the conference semifinals, and we'll get ready to start talking some NBA draft coverage, Major League Baseball, and we get into that NFL OTAs. We'll get into a little bit of that as well. So you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night. We get ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. Click on the same link on tomorrow, and you'll be able to get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate y'all listening to the show. Of course, we're talking the NBA's draft lottery, and it's the Eastern Western Conference final. So, of course, that's what we're going to talk about. I don't know if I can get it in this show, but I would like us to discuss, we talked about a lot of things, but do the Lakers now, sitting at number 4, do they package that number 4 pick with, say, a Ball or an Ingram to try to move up into the top three. Of course, the Pelicans are not going to give up number one. They'll move to two or three to get a Morant or R.J. Barrett. I think that's another intriguing subplot of what they could do this offseason to move up a space to package that pick with one of these young guys and try to get one of those top three players that we talked about. So hopefully we can get to that in this OT, so please download it so you can listen to it. If not, we'll give it to you next week. If we can get that in the topics, I appreciate it because I think that's really interesting. That may be another path for the Lakers to get that other star, our supposed star, through the draft as opposed to free agency, which I don't think is going to happen the way it's shaping up.
Yeah, you know, you got to – I think the question you got to ask the Lakers, if you move up one spot,
stay tuned.
Will Barrett be that much better than Brandon Ingram? I think that's the question you got to ask yourself. Obviously, if you can trade Ball in that number four pick and move up to two or three, I would do it. But if you're going to include Ingram, you got to ask yourself, okay, is Barrett going to be that much better than Ingram? Or is Jeremy Morant going to be that much better than Ingram? I think Morant probably will be a yes. But is Barrett going to be a big difference between Brandon Ingram? You got to ask yourself that question if you're the Lakers organization.
I agree.
West Coast, what do you think about everything? What do you think about everything, West Coast?
Well, I mean, now I've been sitting on this West Coast, and I've been listening to a lot of talk radio coming out of L.A. A lot of stuff coming out of L.A. seems rudderless. I've been hearing talk about a coup in L.A. of taking that ownership out of Jimmy Buss's hands. They seem not to have anybody there that's running the show. And this is a shell game with the coaching hire, I'm hearing, to have Jason Kidd as the assistant. So this is another black thing, have the coach they hired for the coach in the middle of the season fire him, and now Jason Kidd is the coach. Now, this Laker thing is turning into a total soap opera out here in the West.
Yeah.
With different, and it's a shame because it is a big NBA brand. One thing I can say, though, LeBron is getting a lot of rest. He's, you know, after he was in seven straight final basketballs, along with his USA basketball and his Olympic basketball. So this might be the first time in 7 or 8 years where he was able to rest his body and get it right. If he is focused in that way, and I can't sit here on the radio and tell you that LeBron is focused in that way. But if he is, and they get a Jimmy Butler, and they listen to him and what he needs, and what we all think he needs on the West Coast is shooters around him. Shooters, let me say again, shooters around him. And he's more healthy and hungry and focused. They're looking at Portland making it to the NBA championship. They're looking at Denver almost making it to the NBA championship. They're looking at Houston and that mess at Houston. And LeBron and them in L.A. are thinking, if they can get it together, they will be, and the NBA may be rewarded with a Laker Golden State championship series in the Western Conference. And I've always thought LeBron looks at Portland, and LeBron thinks he can beat Portland by himself. He can't. And the comment that I want to make about Houston going out, I've said this on the radio again, I don't like the ISO ball. I don't like the analytic ball. And, basketball's not about one, it's not a one-man deal. Portland's whole team won that series against Denver. The whole team came out. We talked about the guys on the bench. We talked about the starters. We talked about the C.J. McCollum, the Rodney Hoods, the Enes Kanters. They won that series, a team ball. And with Golden State, when they don't have Durant, they've only lost four games when Durant is not there over the last 2 years. They play more team basketball. They play more pass, cut, and shoot basketball.
A lot of movement.
Yep. And that is basketball. This ISO ball by the beard, that's never been, I don't think that's good for basketball. I've never liked it. I think it's ugly. And it was good to see it get dusted for my money.
No, we're on agreement. We are all in agreement 100% too. And I think that's the biggest thing too. Like, I think that whenever you kind of did a synopsis of the series, because again, there was times that there's something missing with that, you know, with Harden and the whole Rockets, because again, we were sick of seeing, you know, James, he can cross you up and, you know, just hit that same shot. But then again, that's not going to do anything it's not helping them get over the hump, man. So something's got to change. Something's got to change, whether it's style, whether, you know, it's not going to get them past second round. And as you mentioned eloquently, Curtis, that definitely team ball is going to always win no matter what too. So as we go to wrap up the show, as we always do, I know we want to throw in a couple of things for I always like to like leave the last couple minutes to the show to kind of like talk about anything you want to talk about that happened during the week. So I kind of want to toss it around to you guys and I'll kind of like do a quick wrap up. But anything you guys want to talk about, I know we've had a couple of last topics about Tom Brady showing signs of aging, early success of the Astros, you know, Nationals, and then obviously we can talk about the Twins with Craig Kimbrell, if you will. But I do want to kind of open it up. If there's anything you guys want to talk about that happened during the week, that kind of like this is dropped to me, kind of say what you got to say as we get ready to wrap up the show too. So start off JQ, and we'll go around the room as always.
You know where I'm going. Come on, Jeannie Bussy. You said it best, Curtis. Come on, man. When you have the Lakers fans scheduling a protest about what's happening, given the state of, you know, the union, that franchise, and what that franchise has been, you have officially hit rock bottom. You have officially hit James Dolan, New York Knicks status, and nobody wants that kind of status. They've got to get it together. I don't know when Linda and Kurt Rambis woke up and was, you know, the most powerful influence in any basketball organization, let alone to be the Lakers organization. I mean, I love him as a player, but come on, man. What do y'all have happening? You are making a mockery and a fool of the Lakers franchise, which you have happening. I'm with you. Please sell it if you don't know what you're doing. Get out the way. You've got a LeBron there, but you're totally ruined it. Look at the way that nobody is even talking about trying to go there. I don't think it's so much all an indictment on him. I think what we've seen play out is an indictment also of the front office. Nobody wants to deal with that mess the same way nobody wanted to deal with that mess in New York. And you talk about two icons and franchises in the Knicks and the Lakers just being rudderless. And it's very disappointing to me to see that take place. You know, you got, you know, Clipper Daryl out there talking junk to him. Like, come on, man. You got the Clippers fans out there talking junk to you. What do y'all have happening? I'm just so disappointed. I'm over it. I'm over it having to defend them and having to hear the Garys of the world talk junk about my Lakers. It's ridiculous. Please get your stuff together. And I would say the other words if I didn't want Dre to get mad at me. But come on, man.
hey, man, that's why you should be rooting for your home state team, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I can't say nothing about Cleveland.
Oh, man. So, would they call Cleveland a mistake by the lake?
Mistake by the lake.
So at the end of this Blazer game, you know, they got blown out tonight, and I was looking at Steve Kerr's record in game ones, and I think he was 18 or 19
and one
in game one series. So, you know, wow, that's phenomenal.
It helps when you have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant.
yeah, it does. It does. You have the West starting.
We'll give him a little bit of credit.
All stars. so, but that's phenomenal.
You know, he's got a – the one thing that you can say about coaches like that, just like Phil Jackson or any of them like that with a team with a bunch of all-stars, is, you know, you still have to, you know, maintain happiness within that organization and, you know, that player, you know, continuity thing. You've got to get those guys all on the same page. And that's, I think, being under like a guy like Phil Jackson and seeing it, you know, firsthand like that, I think that's really helped in his coaching career. So my hat's off to him. He's 9-1 in the playoffs against Stotts. He's going to be 9-2 after Thursday.
Ooh, bold statement. We got that on. Oh, we recorded that, right, Andre?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I'll remind you.
If he's wrong, we're going to have to replay that statement over and over during our intro next week.
He's just pretty confident the whole playoff.
But
even
you wouldn't do that to me, would you?
He did it to me when I went on my Les Miles rant, Gary, a couple of years ago. I went on Les Miles rant, and they played it back like 3 weeks in a row, seemed like.
that was all me. I would definitely download the clip and cut that piece off and give it to Joe to play. I sure will.
That's all JQ. I'll give JQ props because he cut it. I'm like,
but
damn.
I hope you're right, Gary. I told you, as I said before, I
want
to play this game. I don't want anybody to get worried.
I'm going to be calling for it after the game, next podcast. I'm going to be calling for it. I'm going to say, I want to hear the clip.
That's what's up. I got you.
I want to end with a couple of things. This is, and I've been doing this since 1999. I hit down to the Bay Area.
That's a Prince song, man.
Since 1999. And I want you guys to write this down. Look up the San Francisco Bay Two Breakers. It's a 12K run, and they call it San Francisco's biggest block party. It splits the town in half. The first year I ran it in San Francisco, it was 110 degrees. It was 120,000. Yeah, it was something else. It was 120,000 people in that race, and maybe 60,000 of them were completely naked. And they emptied out the mom and pop stores along the routes, the liquor stores. I was behind some women in their Sunday best that had a little red wagon, and it was the biggest stock bar I've ever seen in a wagon or anywhere in any bar I've ever seen. And it was for these ladies. They were older ladies in their Sunday best, and they got this bar in their little wagon going up the Beta Breaker course. I've seen some amazing things on the Beta Breakers. I've seen the best costume. I've seen the best costume I ever saw of our President Osama bin Laden. And then he was behind the best costume I ever saw of Saddam Hussein, the guy that was the number one terrorist in the world. And I'm going up Kennedy Avenue in San Francisco, and our president, Osama bin Laden, was doing as I'm heading up Kennedy Avenue in San Francisco on the Beta Breakers. My first one, like I said, I couldn't. The race started, and 50 minutes later, I'm at the starting line.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm stretching out, and my brother and my sister-in-law and all the kids are looking around, and they're looking around for the police, because all these naked people are coming into the race and they're looking around trying to figure out what's going on here. And I get in the back of the race and I tell them, it's only going to take me 50 minutes to get to the end. 50 minutes later, I'm getting to the starting line of this race. And I can't run and I can't do anything. But 6 miles into the race, it finally breaks up enough for me to jog. And I get ready to jog, and I'm getting ready to run and get to the one-on-one to the beach. And there's this guy in a cowboy hat, butt naked, playing the guitar, facing all the people running up the course trying to get to the beach. I'm like, what did I get myself into? But I've been going ever since. And I saw people come from all over this country to get in this race, get their cell phones, and text grandma in Iowa, Illinois, Mississippi, Florida. Look, grandma, look at this freak. And they're pitching this freak on the race course for the Beta Breakers. And they're showing grandma, and grandma in Illinois is screaming bloody murder. It is some kind of mess, but it is some kind of fun. And on the weekend of the 19th, I will be in the Bay Area. And it's mostly for me a family thing. I have a lot of family in the Bay Area. And we have a lot of fun with the event and trying to run the event and trying to do the event. And I've been doing it since 1999. A lot of fun.
So what was the whole, I'm trying to figure out where were we going? What was the whole, like, was anything fun with this, Chris? I mean, just reminiscing? I'm kind of curious here.
No, it's kind of a sporting event. Now, you see some of the super duper African runners in this race, and the African men and women, and there's prize money in this thing. Okay, uh-huh. The first prize money is you get $7,000, the first man and the first woman up Hayes Hill in the Beta Breakers up Hayes Hill. That's $7,000 if you're the first man and if you're the first woman. And then if you finish, the first man finish is $35,000 and a brand new Ford 350 truck. And the first woman is another $35,000 and a Ford 350 Ford truck. So some of the world records on a 12K course has been run on this course. But, of course, these guys are separated from the mayhem of the rest of the story at the Beta Breakers. But, yeah, you see that Beta Breakers has had some championship, super fast, distant road racers, and they get. And one of the things that you want to know about road racing for these guys from Africa and these championship guys, there's prize, big prize money in all of these races. So if you're that bad and you're that good, you can make you over $100,000 a year. You can make you $200,000 a year by winning these road races around the country.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, man, again, there's like, there's not any words to kind of describe how this show broadcast has gone like to like all different levels, man. So again, I give you guys credit for an amazing show. Again, I don't really know what to say. Again, it's just like so much. But again, I will kind of wrap it up by saying congrats to Rob again and the Pelicans for an amazing. Getting that first pick, if you will. Congrats to you guys. And for the sake of the East Coast, we always have to get out here and get some rest here. So, again, we're going to wrap it up. And just want to say thank you guys again for a fantastic show. Rob, I don't know if you're going to get tickets, man, but,
you know, for the Pelicans, but we hope everything goes good with you, man. So it's been fun. Any last comments before we wrap this thing up?
I'll be making my fair share of gains. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, how about this before we wrap up the show here? Cameron Jordan, defensive end for the Saints, tweeted that Cameron Jordan sits courtside at just about a lot of the Pelicans' games. And he tweeted, Anthony Davis, are you staying and mentoring the number one pick, are you? Hashtag reconciliation.
Well, just as you said that, he's on TV right now on ESPN. They've shown Anthony Davis. What a coincidence.
On ESPN? Okay. I'm all watching ESPN. Are they showing?
Yeah, you just missed him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just missed him.
Wow. So interesting that Cam Jordan, defense in the Saints, sent him a tweet. Like I said, he sits courtside at a lot of the Saints, a lot of the Pelicans games, but we shall see. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank everyone for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back on the air live again on next Tuesday night. That's going to be the 21st of May. We're getting ready to go through our fifth month already this year. So once again, don't miss us, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back on the air on Tuesday night. Good night, people. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Barry Leonard of the Colts, ankle surgery, 6 weeks.
Ooh, I see you, Rachel Nichols, looking good. I appreciate it. And, man, we got to get my man Curtis a book deal. I mean, if that story right there don't get that started, I just don't know what else will. I mean, we got to find a way to get that together because my word. I appreciate you guys for sure. And everybody that listened to the show, download the link. If you downloaded it, you just got an absolute nugget and a treat from Curtis. So, again, keep them coming. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Well, good night. Have a good one.
Good night, you guys.
I might have some more stories from the Beta Breakers 2019.
Oh,
also, Preakness, I'm going to win money for you guys on the Preakness.
Hey,
but the horse that won
the money
will
you
not
lost
be
tonight,
there.
You ain't losing by 22 points.
I thought I had a good bet there. But no, this is what I do. Triple Crown, Preakness. There's been a $3,500 win at the Preakness in my history. Let me see if I can do it again.
Okay.
Hey.
All right. We're going to support you, bro. So do what you got to do. Keep telling those stories, man. A lot of love.
Hey, if he wins, we're all meeting for dinner. On Curtis.
Yeah, definitely.
On Curtis. All right, we'll take
damn
that.
Straight. All right, Curtis.
Damn
make that happen,
straight.
Bro. Not
all right. We're really
Nick
playing.
Not like
I'll be in Portland in July. So get ready for me.
Okay.
Are you coming up in July? Blues Festival. Blues
yes.
Festival. All right, come on up. Yeah,
hey,
Blues Festival.
Hey, Rob, let's tag team. Let's do. Hope we can do like a buddy pass after Rob. Let me know, man. Make it happen.
All right, we'll talk.
I would love you guys to come up here and for us to. I would love you guys to all come up here and we do a show right here.
That would
be fantastic.
And you guys would enjoy the Blues Festival.
Only on the one condition. We got to go and have some Huckleberry Shakes.
Oh, yeah. Got to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll take a few extra days. We'll show you around.
Nice.
There it is.
Make it happen. All right, fellas. Have a great evening, okay?
Yeah, but we got to be careful. You know, Portland is...
Per capita
has the most microbreweries per capita in the United States, and JQ is a lush, so we got to be careful with taking the portal.
Hey.
50% of Portland is lushes also, so he'll be in step. He'll be a good company. Yeah, he'll be a good company.
I don't like the conversation.
All right, good night, bro. It's all good, man.
Good night, people.
All right, y'all. All right.